Turn to 2 Kings 23. Verse 21, and keep up with Josiah. And his reforms, 2 Kings 23, 21. And the king commanded all the people, saying, celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. Surely such a Passover had not been celebrated from the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and of the kings of Judah. In the 18th year of King Josiah, the Passover was observed to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah removed the mediums and the spiritists and the teraphim and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might confirm the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. However, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath, with which his anger burned against Judah, because of all the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him. The Lord said, I will remove Judah also from my sight, as I have removed Israel, and I will cast off Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen, and the temple of which I said, my name shall be there. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah, all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up to the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went to meet him. And when Pharaoh Necho saw him, he killed him at Megiddo. His servants drove his body in a chariot from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own tomb. Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him king, and made him king in place of his father. Let's pray. Lord, we're encouraged by Josiah. We are also sobered by the fact that all he did could not turn the nation back from the momentum that it built up for so long. And yet, Lord, what he did was a great doing. And so, Lord, we pray that we would in our day, although it seems hopeless if we look out, know, Lord, that you can do anything. And that there have been many times in history when you've turned back very corrupt nations, such as we have. Lord, I pray we would have hope in you and focus ourselves, or not to be dragged down by what we see around us, but we would maintain the prosperity of our own soul and our trust in you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You see in our passage that we are getting to a holiday, a celebration of the Passover, which had been neglected for years in Judah and in Israel, the northern kingdom, when they were in existence. One of the first things I learned in life was that we periodically stopped the normal course of events and celebrated a holiday. My first holiday, since I was born in January, would have been Easter. I don't remember it. I'm skipping over Valentine's Day, which would have come a month after I was born, both because it's not really a major holiday. Plus, I think at 1 month old, I doubt even I had a Valentine then. But from that year of life, that first year, my family, along with others, would break off in the routine, and we observed, my first holiday was then Easter, with Thanksgiving and Christmas. There were other holidays of smaller significance, really, some important, some not so much. Everybody's birthday, found out we celebrate that periodically, traditionally. Husbands and wives celebrate anniversaries. There are days like Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Independence Day. We celebrate such things as that. Of course, the greatest holiday of all time was summer vacation from school when we were in school. We also get quite a number of junk holidays that are more of a political or social commentary on our times, things that we would never have had years ago, but we have them now because we were better years ago than we are now. I think in some months of the year, seem like every month is LGBTQ month or transgender month or transgender day or come out of the closet day. I think there are more days celebrating those perversions than there are actual days and months for in some cases. I think Pride Month is next month. That's one of probably 12 of, out of the year. God designated holidays for Israel. The Lord set aside one day in seven for a day of rest and focus on the Lord to fend off secularism and unbelief. The Lord did this. There's nothing in nature itself. You know, the moon governs months and the sun, the years. The seven-day week is an origin from God. Worked 6 days and created, and seventh day rested. And on that seventh day, and that's in the Ten Commandments, it is also a moral commandment that we are not to so pour ourselves into the world that all we do is the world, the work of the world. And so the Lord set aside one day in seven to keep that from happening, to direct our attention to that. Now, it's a Sabbath day for the Jews. It's the Lord's day on Sunday for Christians because of the resurrection. But that principle of one in seven is to maintain a focus on the Lord. There are also feasts in Israel. There were three times of the year where feasts were held. There were like seven feasts overall. They overlapped on some of those days. And they were to remind Israel of the Lord's dealings with them. The Passover, which we see here in this passage, of course, was coming out of Egypt. Feast of Unleavened Bread followed that. You know, they were the Feast of Booths, where it reminded them how they were in the wilderness. The things that happened to God, how God was giving grace to Israel, were given in feasts to show God's sovereignty, God's redemption, God's faithfulness. The feast at the harvest time to give praise to the Lord for the bounty of the harvest. All about the Lord. And so these days were to keep people thankful and happy in the Lord. Now, if you don't focus on the Lord and all you focus on are your problems in the world, you're going to be miserable. There's no other way around it. So these were days for worship and days of adoration for the Lord, days for keeping history alive. We know in our own time how quickly people forget history. They don't remember the history of our country. They'll remember the history of last year if it goes against their ideology. So the Lord wants us to have a mindset that is godly. And so these holidays tend toward that. Secular holidays tend to take us away from the glory of the Lord and rebrand holy days into bunnies and eggs and turkeys and Santa. Some are purely secular observances. Some of those are good. I mentioned Veterans Day, Memorial Day. Others are questionable at best, like Kwanzaa. What in the world? Or they're simply days honoring certain dignitaries, and that's either good or bad, depending on the character of the dignitary being honored. Some promote wickedness, though. The LGBTQ and the transgender and abortion memorials and holidays is nothing but wickedness and perversion. So the quality of a holiday rises or falls with the attitude of the nation toward that for which they're observing. If a nation is godly, they will not be observing LGBTQ holidays. Your family, as a Christian family, will not be rejoicing in, mutilate your child day and make them into another sex. We heard recently a kicker from the Kansas City Chiefs, a Catholic. You don't hear solid biblical doctrine all the time from Catholics, especially from the Pope. He's not even Catholic anymore, it seems. But a kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs spoke about the wholesomeness of motherhood and what a great thing it was for him to have his mother care for him at home and for mothers to take care of children and raise families. And oh man, they still haven't stopped fussing about that. What could be harder and worse to say than your mother is an important part of the family? And so a lot of people don't want him to live on earth anymore. They want him to be sent right out into space because, according to them, he has no place in this world saying things like, I love my mom, and I think women being at home is a great thing, raising their kids. Well, that's offensive. Our governor just signed recently, I think a week or two ago, a bill to make mutilation of children, in a foolish attempt to make them another gender, to make that illegal. And there are people who will not vacation in South Carolina anymore and want to sue the state for that, protecting children from evil adults who want to mutilate them. The opportunity to be saved, the gospel being preached, that's considered offensive by many wicked people. The presence of churches offends people. The tax benefit churches get for donating to churches, church members get. Well, they want to throw that out because they see no justification in that with all the money that could be spent on other things by the government. That's hard to say that without laughing. Of course, the most wisely spent money that could ever be spent on earth is by the government, right? And they want this tax money so they can waste more money on the government level. But the reason churches have a tax benefit was because the founding fathers saw that God was a stability factor in the success of a nation. And they wanted the churches to seek God on behalf of the nation. And today it's the opposite. They want the churches to not seek God on behalf of the nation. We celebrate things we treasure. Couples that get divorced usually don't get together on their anniversary or their former anniversary. And I guess it's still their anniversary, but they're not together anymore. They don't get together and celebrate that anymore. Why was the Passover missed all those years by Judah? I mean, they didn't even know about it. They had forgotten about it until they found the book at the temple. The reason is because they had fallen from the Lord. And all these things that were to remind them from the Lord all through the year, they had gotten away from. Our kids today, and they don't have to because this isn't important, but our kids today don't know anything about 8-track players. They don't know. They don't know, probably a lot of them don't know about cassette players. They don't have any experience with that. So if an 8-track player was an important thing in God's calendar, well, it's been ignored for a long time, so much so that we don't even have kids that know what they are. Of course, they don't have to. It's technology. Now we're into DVDs and really beyond DVDs. Now we're into streaming music from the World Wide Web, internet, cloud, all that. When you neglect something, you lose it. And they had fallen from the Lord and elevated false gods for so many years that they lost it. Do you remember your locker combination from when you were in elementary school. Sixth grade, I think, was the first year in middle school that we had lockers. We had lockers just outside the room, and we had locks on them. And you know, I do not remember what my combination was for that locker in the sixth grade. Only 8 years ago, I don't remember. At CBC, we had my box was 351. I don't remember. I might could work on it and remember, but I don't remember what the combination was for that because I never use it anymore. I'm away from it. Well, they got away from all these things. They got away from the festivals. They got away from the holy days. They got away from the Word of God. They forgot it. It was the new normal, as people talk about today. The new normal is usually the new wickedness that's being accepted. They forgot about God. There were 57 years of reign after Hezekiah before Josiah took over. Manasseh and Ammon had 57 years of reign, and they did not walk with the Lord. Manasseh repented at the end, and he'd done so much bad before that that it was hardly remembered. And we marvel in our own time, in looking back a few years, how quickly things went from sane to stark raving lunacy. It doesn't have to be a long time. We've seen it within a generation. So many crazy things. Josiah started seeking the Lord in the 8th year of his reign, so he was 15. In the 12th year of his reign, he started to purge the land of idols and pagan priests. So, 19, he is, or the 12th year, he's now starting to fix some things. In the 12th year that he does that, he starts to purge the land of all that. And then in the 18th year of his reign, they found the book of the law. So he started at eight. His 18th year is going to be like he's 25 or so at the start of that. So all of that time, as 17 years, add 17 years to the 57 years of departure from the Lord, and you have 74 years where they had gotten away from God with the kings and at the start of Josiah's reign before they found the book of the law. So there's no shock at all that the nation knew nothing of the required feast and the joy and the purpose of them. They didn't know. Should they have known? Yeah. Were they guilty for not knowing? Absolutely. Those things were to be passed down from generation to generation. And they weren't, and they forgot. Because the feasts were there to keep the people in mind of the Lord. Just as every week the Sabbaths were to do that, they didn't keep those either. Out of sight, out of mind, way out of mind. And so we understand our own day. It starts with a step off the path that is not corrected. The step becomes miles and years and farther distance. And so that's where Israel was when, or Judah was when Josiah found the book of the law. Well, they couldn't get back all the way. We want drag queens in school, but not the Bible or the Ten Commandments. Oh, that'd be damaging. Have the Ten Commandments in school, that'd be damaging. You know what would be healthy? Get a man to dress up and get a dress on and pretend to be a woman and come in and do story hour. That'd be good. You can't really fathom the craziness. So we consider the only practical thing to do to fix society's problems is whatever humans come up with. The humans who are saying men can have babies. and let them fix it. That's why when people shoot people, it's always guns, not the people. It's why people have swerved to hope in politicians because they've left God. They don't have God anymore. So now who are they hoping fixes things? The Senate and the House and the executive branch of the government? This is why the schools have become cesspools of falsehood and grooming of children, because you've left God. This is how all the abuse of the elderly and others that happened during the COVID thing, because all they wanted to do was accomplish a political goal. They didn't care who they were hurting, what families they were hurting, what end of life scenarios they set up that left people alone when they died. So a natural part of Josiah's reform was to get back to celebrating the gracious feast days. And he starts with the numero uno one. I mean, this became the first of the year, the Passover. The Passover feast began in Egypt with the Lord passing over the Jews in Egypt on the night the death angel came and killed all the firstborn in Egypt. And that in turn resulted in salvation for Israel from Egyptian bondage. The blood was shed. The avenging angel passed over the houses where the blood was seen. And then the others died. And from that, Egypt sent them packing. So it's a picture of salvation. Deuteronomy 16:2, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to establish his name. You shall not eat leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat with it unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, for you came out of Egypt, the land of Egypt, in haste, so that you may remember all the days of your life, the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. For 7 days no leaven shall be seen with you in all the territory, and none of the flesh which you sacrifice on the evening of the first day shall remain overnight until morning. You are not allowed to sacrifice the Passover in any of your towns, which the Lord your God has given you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. You shall sacrifice the Passover in the evening at sunset, at the time that you came out of Egypt. You shall cook and eat it in the place which the Lord your God chooses. In the morning you are to return to your tents. You see, the whole thing is centered upon God's redemption of Israel from Egypt. So in verses, our text, we're told that they celebrated. Passover had not been celebrated since the days of the judges. The judges were just prior to the kings. Samuel was the last judge. Then you get into the kings, and they've gone all that time and it's nothing. I mean, they've kept it. But such a widespread. Josiah, also commanded the areas of the northern kingdom, which had fallen. And he observed in Jerusalem, as Deuteronomy 16 says it to be done, removed all the mediums and the spiritists and the teraphim and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem. The thing that really amazes you is that he's been reforming, and we saw some before. He's been reforming them for a while. There's so much trash to throw out, they're still throwing it out. We're told that before him was no king who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to the law of Moses. Nor did any like him arise after him. But they poured themselves into this remembrance of God's deliverance of them from Egypt. I mean, what a wonderful time for Israel. Now, if they had remembered that the whole time, they'd remember that God was the one who saved them. God was their redeemer. And while they followed the Lord, they would be in the best place as a nation. They didn't even get to the Red Sea nearby before they were griping and moaning and complaining. They were unbelievers, the majority, I believe. And they didn't have the wisdom because they were had a depraved mind to understand what God had done for them. But on that day, and in that time, Josiah went all in. It wasn't going to save the nation. It wasn't going to undo all the wickedness. The momentum that had built up, it's not that God could not have done so. God has justice to mete out as well. But Josiah did the best thing for his time, just like we have to do for our time. What we do to correct our lives and to live our lives in the right way will probably have nothing whatsoever to do with Washington, D.C., or California, or any other place in the world. But we do it because God wants us to do it, and it is God's will to do it. And we leave it to God to do whatever He wants to do with that. When God brought revival in Jonathan Edwards' day, they weren't seeking it. They were going through the normal course of their lives, doing the Sunday worship. And the Lord began to open up hearts and bring a fire of revival into the land. God can do that. We have a big momentum built up in this country. In our minds, oh, it's just impossible because it is impossible to us. We don't know what God will do. We know what God can do. Now, sinners always believe very strongly in their own sovereignty and ability to avoid the judgment of God. Right now, every wicked deed done in the highest levels of government is believed by those who are doing it to be good, the best. You know, Psalm 2 talks about shaking God's bands off of them. That's holding them back. God's holding us back. We need to shake those off so we can be actually living properly. Because that's what pride and sinful pride does. It warps your mind. We talk about people having warped minds with all this crazy stuff today. It starts with that. You leave God and your mind goes wildly crazy. We do not have what people think they have, inner sovereignty. They're going to keep the judgment of God off of them because this is a new day and we've decided that this is the right way to be. And so by being that way and deciding that, we're going to avoid all the judgment of God. Huh. They will call upon the rocks to fall on them and hide them from the face of him who sits upon the throne and the Lamb. They basically believe their own little mind is the best determiner for future success. I did in my day, kids playing with these little Tonka trucks, Tonka toys, the little cars and trucks and bulldozers and dump trucks and stuff like that. I never thought to go to them and ask them to fix my real car because they maybe fix my real dump truck. Since I see you're playing with these toys here, do you think you might go out in the yard and check the engine and see what's going on in my actual truck? No, that's a toy. Is this what the world is doing? Is they're playing like they know things, but they're kids. And so Judah carried on for almost 150 years after the downfall of Samaria, still going their own way. Our lives are not for us. Our lives are given to us for the Lord. We're given life for the Lord. All we do is to be for the glory of the Lord. The Lord has not given us life, although there are many joys in life, blessings in life, things the Lord does for us, which we're thankful. All of those are, that is not the be all end all of why we're here. We are here for the Lord. We're here to glorify the Lord. We're to serve the Lord. We're to praise the Lord. And that is what keeping these festivals and keeping our focus upon the Lord, this is what we're enabled to do. Secondly, our lives are not for us, but for others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's the first two, and you're not even listed yet. So that's why we're here. And what happens, this is a digression. People reject God. Then they try to do what the government does today and others do, school systems and all over. They try to replace God with their own wisdom and their own tactics. And failing there, which they will, they then, in the end, just turn to themselves. And because of that, the love of many grows cold because iniquity abounds. And Jesus foretells that. And at that point, all people care about is themselves. And what are people doing for them? And what failures people are if they don't. The Lord is very kind to have given us a day out of the week, and for Israel, many festivals through the year to keep our radar tuned to the Lord. Our mailbox out here on the street, we got to keep that, checking that. Sometimes there's nothing in it. Sometimes there's something that we don't want. Sometimes there's stuff in it we'd like to have. But you got to keep checking it. The mail doesn't walk in the house. It has to be tended to. The yard has to be tended to. Your gas tank has to be tended to. Your family has to be tended to. Your heart has to be tended to. So when we turn our radar off, as our nation has done and our world has done, and you navigate on your own, you're going to get lost. And so Israel wandered from the festivals, and they no longer knew who they were. They didn't know they were the people of God anymore. They didn't realize, remember about the Exodus, remember about the deliverance from Egypt, didn't remember about the sacrificial lamb, the passing over, all those thankful things that they were thankful to because the Lord had provided. They turned to Baal. Baal was now the God of the harvest instead of the Lord. So let's be faithful to the things God has given us to keep on our course. For us, we have the church, we have the Lord's Day, we have fellowship with one another, the Bible. We don't have the feast days that Israel had, but the Holy Spirit has called us into a family to exhort and encourage one another. As the writer of Hebrews says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That is constant attention to the dangers that we face in this world of wandering off, and like Israel, go for decades away from the truth of God. And it happens very quickly. You don't need a long time. The things that have happened in our time have happened quickly. Our heads are still spinning from what used to be 10 years ago. We're still wondering what happened. That's how quickly it gets out of hand. We're doing ourselves a favor, sure. But the only way we can maintain our purpose, made to glorify God, is to stay near to Him. Nothing wrong with a festival. I love a good festival. Of course, our festivals have been secularized. They're holy days. We don't have to make them that way. We're not, the world's going to do what the world does. We have to take care that the wandering that Israel did, the wandering that Judah did, that one day was an inch, turned into 57 years plus. That's what we have to watch. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful to you for your mercy to us, for your long suffering and patience with us. But Lord, we surely need in our day, with the tumults of godlessness all around us, that we would stay the path and do your will and be encouraged in you and your people. And Lord, truly, that we would take every opportunity that's been given to us to focus ourselves upon you. And Lord, may you encourage your people in this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.